War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Looking at core CPI inflation, these are the actual numeric values. You might say, why 270? What does that mean? Well, it's indexed to 100 being way back in 1984. What's most important is the rate of change. And I'm going to show you here how much more aggressively inflation is accelerating right now when Joe Biden is president versus the tenure of President Trump. So let's look at the 4 months to end Trump's term. The economy was strongly recovering, but without runaway inflation. During those last 4 months, what did we see? We saw 0.3% overall increase in those 4 months. If we were to annualize that, because it's 4 months, we do times three, it would be 0.9% on an annualized basis. Really tame inflation with aggressive growth. Now, fast forward to the present. The first 4 months for which we have data under Joe Biden as president, we see 2.1% growth. And if we annualize that times three, of course, we're going to come up with 6.3% staggering inflation on an annualized basis. And it is literally exactly seven times higher than what we saw under President Trump. That's the realities. The numbers don't lie. You can put all of this squarely at the feet of Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. It's way too much printed money right now chasing after too few goods.
Okay, you're in the war room. It is, we're live. It's Wednesday, 16 June, year of our Lord, 2021. Now with over 60 million downloads. Of course, we're distributed everywhere. I want to thank all of our partners. We'll get to that later in the show. Today, one of the most important shows we've done in a long time, and every day we think the show sets a new level. We got Mike Lindell with explosive news coming out, also about all the hits they're trying to do on him, including The Daily Show. We got exclusive footage on that. We got Sidney Powell, the great Sidney Powell, is going to join us today. Darren Beatty, the follow-on from Tucker's interview last night. We're going to get into a lot more about the 1-6 riot and what the government knew, what the government's involvement was, all of it very explosive. Jason Jones is going to be live from the Basilica here in Washington, D.C., a protest by Catholics demanding that bishops stand up and refuse communion to Joe Biden because of his abortion policies. Of course, the great Rainer Jackson. This show is going to be packed. We're going to have a lot more going in. I've got the great Steve Cortez. Steve Cortez is now the host of Cortez and Pellegrino, 9 p.m. every night on Newsmax. It's must watch. If you can't record it, the reason it is must watch is because Steve Cortez called this a long time ago about the inflation thing. We've also got my sidekick. My kid sister is sitting in here for the week. You've become kind of a star because you're like Mystery Woman, and she's a cancer survivor. She's absolutely fantastic. I knew her as a blonde. It was a little heavier, right? And now she's a cancer survivor, and now you're gray, and you're thin, but you're a fighter. You've got all the fight of the banners. You're going to give us critical race theory, what's happening in Carolina. Don't freeze on me. Don't vapor lock. We're going to get back to that. But we had to have Cortez in here. We're talking about, you know, Cortez called this first. You called this from the very beginning. You say if you look at the guys around him, the men and women here he's bringing in, if you look at what their policies are going to be, we're going to go back to the 70s in not a good way.
Right.
And leave the violence and everything aside. I'm talking about economics. We're going back. For those people in our audience that are under 50 years old, right, you probably don't remember, or under 40 years old, you definitely don't remember the 70s. And this country was kind of in a death spiral at that time, right? And Ronald Reagan came on the scene, a populist nationalist came on the scene and pulled us out of it. And it wasn't easy.
Right.
It was not easy. So walk us through right now. You've called this. Every day it gets worse. People know Cortez as part of the Trump movement. What they don't know is one of the smartest guys of Wall Street. And you've been doing numbers on this stuff for, what, 30 years?
Yes, almost. Yep, correct.
And trading, betting your own capital and all that. So
correct.
You know these numbers. Walk us through the dilemma in and why this audience has to start thinking about how they can get ahead of it personally.
Right. So listen, the Biden inflation spike, it is real. And to channel an episode of Seinfeld, it is not spectacular. That is the reality right now. We are going back to the 1970s, economically speaking, in other ways as well. But on the economy, what I mean by that is fast rising inflation without fast rising growth and wages. That's known in economics as stagflation, something that we thankfully have not experienced in the United States since the 1970s. And we are getting right now, courtesy of Joe Biden and his minions on Capitol Hill, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Why? Because they are spending America into a ditch, and they are borrowing and spending too much without a growth plan, without the Trump growth plan. Global markets are reacting very violently to this. Money is absolutely pouring into physical assets, into crude oil, into gold, or into alternative assets like crypto. Why? Because the once almighty king dollar is now jeopardized by Joe Biden's radical recklessness. And I would submit to the audience, the most important news going on today, perhaps the most important news going on all year, is not in Geneva, Switzerland. It's not the Putin-Biden meeting. It's right here in Washington, D.C. It's a meeting of the Federal Reserve Board because we have gotten alarming data out lately. Yesterday, producer price index was out. It was the highest 6.6% rise, the highest rise ever in the history of that index. We got similar news on the CPI previously, which was up 5%, the worst since 2008. The Fed has to confront the reality in front of it that inflation is running away in this country. And who does inflation, by the way, most harm? It's middle and lower income people. You know, to the Wall Street executive, it might be annoying that filling up his Range Rover doubles in price, but it doesn't change his life. But to the working single mom who drives to a waitress job at a restaurant that's far from her home, $4 and $5 a gallon gasoline is an absolute crusher. And that is what is happening right now
in the United States. It's the cruelest tax.
And it's because of policy. It's not bad luck. It's not happenstance. No. It's because of what Joe Biden
is doing. This is not the second law of thermodynamics. It's not some physical property that's making this happen. This is about agency. This is decisions they are making that can be unmade. Yes. I want to go back to the inflation numbers first. What's the issue with uncertain these inflations are actually worse because they're not counting energy or food? I want to make sure people understand how bad it really is.
Correct. The one I showed there is core, which strips away food and energy, mainly because energy is so volatile. So a lot of economists, when they want to look at longer term trends, they will take away energy. But of course, you can't take away energy from your life, right? As a matter of fact, for many people, it's a critical component to their life if they drive a lot. And it obviously affects the price of everything that is shipped. One of the reasons grocery store prices are rising is because grain prices are rising, but it's also because shipping those items is becoming massively more expensive. So the CPI that I mentioned at 5%, that does encompass food and energy. That is the worst number since 2008, headline number. Core number, it's the worst since 1992. Now, by the way, this isn't just partisans like me recognizing this. A lot of titans on Wall Street are recognizing this. I want to play, we have some tape here of a couple of people that are really worth listening to. Jamie Dimon, who is no populist nationalist, okay? Jamie Dimon spoke about this issue. Let's hear what he had to say, and then we can comment after.
If they treat these numbers, which were material events, they're very material.
That's Paul Tudor Jones.
If they treat them with nonchalance. Okay.
Let's take that down.
I think it's just a
group. Okay, good going. Let's get the right number. Let's get the right thing. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So Jamie Dimon tells us that he is hoarding cash, smartly so. Why? Because he believes that inflation is not going to be transitory. By the way, give you this afternoon's headline right now. Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, at his press conference this afternoon, I guarantee at some point he is going to say that inflation is transitory. It is not transitory. And again, don't just take my word for it. Jamie Dimon, the chairman of J.P. Morgan, says he does not believe it's transitory. And so he says J.P. Morgan is hoarding cash. Why? Because when inflation rises and interest rates rise, they want to lend to you at higher interest rates. Now, there's nothing wrong with that as a business strategy, but there's a lot wrong with that for your life. Because Jamie Dimon, a titan of Wall Street, is directly telling you, you're going to pay more for loans, you're going to pay more for all the goods in your life.
We're going to get to in the second part, we keep in the B block, we're going to talk about the ape army and what's happening with the meme stocks, et cetera, because you know, a lot of people blame it on different things. Let's play the Jamie. Do you have the Jamie Dimon clip? Let's play it.
Commodities are soaring as the Biden spending tsunami destroys confidence in the once almighty king dollar, prompting investors to hide their capital in safe havens like crude oil, grains, and crypto. Even the CEO of J.P. Morgan admits he's hoarding cash right now at his bank, preparing for long-term inflation and a chance, yes, to lend money to you at much higher rates.
If you look at our balance sheet, we have like $500 billion of cash, and we've actually been effectively stockpiling more and more cash. We have a lot of cash and capability, and we're going to be very patient. And we're being patient because I think you have a very good chance that inflation, you know, will be more than transitory.
I want to say something today. This is about the media, and this is signal, not noise, and to put you know, tomorrow's news today. All of this you're hearing about the showdown in Geneva, and this is why Drudge doesn't mean anything about showdown in Geneva, the big five-hour thing. That's all nonsense. Russia's a declining power. It's this economy that's smaller than New York State. That's all the media trying to show. Joe Biden is like, you know, the Gary Cooper sheriff in High Noon. It's all nonsense. It's ridiculous. The most important thing happening in your life today, in this nation's life today, the Federal Reserve
yes.
meeting. This is the most important meeting of the Federal Reserve in Powell's and terrain.
Right.
And one of the reasons we continue to focus on capital markets on this show, because if you're a deplorable, it's money and capital that drives, are the underlying forces that drive so much in your life, right? Particularly in the concentration of these global elites. And I want to make sure people understand something. What we're talking about is stores of value. How you have stores of value. Traditionally, we have had it as the U.S. dollar. That's
right.
Why the U.S. dollar is the prime reserve currency. Historically, we're in a time right now that we have a government that has its foot on the pedal, driving us over a cliff. Not only are we going to have a constitutional crisis about 3 November, we're going to have a financial and capital markets crisis because they are destroying the dollar
right.
as we speak. And this is why President Trump is not totally correct when he says crypto is a scam. There's certain parts of crypto that are certainly a scam. Overall, though, crypto is not, it's too big. It's not a scam
right.
Because look, people are looking at it as an alternative store of value, just like gold and silver and real estate,
right.
hard assets. This is one of the reasons Larry Fink and the guys at BlackRock right now are on this whole thing of buying up all the housing stock in the country, because with zero interest rates, that's going to force the asset classes up, particularly when you don't have that many physical assets. And they're basically going to have the deplorables pay for it. They're going
right.
to lease the houses back to you. You get none of the upside.
Right.
You get none of the juice. You're going to pay. You're basically going to finance. This is, once again, how cruel it is. And some guys on the conservative side say it's free market. No, it's not a free market. It's
right.
totally rigged.
No, and
it's
by the
totally
way, Steve, and if they go too far, BlackRock, if they get overextended,
who
bails them out?
They're bailed out.
Yeah, they'll get bailed out by Joe Sixpack and Jane Sixpack.
Right now, they're talking about a global housing bubble is coming up. Remember, all these massive hedge funds, they're trying to take all the juice, right, and leave you with the squeezed
and
lemon.
Way, to that point of the global hedge funds, we have another clip that I want to play of Paul Tudor Jones. I think this is
huge.
Critical.
Yes.
He's not as much of a household name as Jamie Dimon. You might not have heard of him. However, he's an incredibly successful, self-made billionaire fund manager. He manages money for some of the most sophisticated and wealthiest families and institutions on earth. Here's what he had to say about the Fed and its nonchalance.
Play it. Okay, can we get that?
If they treat these numbers, which were material events, they're very material. If they treat them with nonchalance, then I think it's just a green light to bet heavily on every inflation trade. The idea that inflation is transitory, to me is that one just doesn't work the way I see the world.
Okay, this is so important. Today, the Federal Reserve, remember, we're going to keep interest rates. They already said we're going to keep interest rates low through 2022.
Right.
Oh, that's just random. Just like Facebook is going to keep and Twitter is going to keep Trump off of the social media till after 2022. Just
right.
random dates.
Right.
Right. You're going to keep it down. They're going to say today, oh, this is Cortez and these guys. This is all transitory. Just
right.
a little blip is going to be fine. You got two guys who are the smartest guys in the world, Paul Tudor Jones and Jamie Dimon. These guys are beast. Okay.
Right.
They're telling you right there, well, I don't think it's transitory.
Right. They're both saying it's not transitory. And by the way, when Paul Tudor Jones there says that it's a green light, he doesn't mean a green light for the economy. He means a green light for people like him to make fortunes in the inflation trade. And again, nothing wrong with that, okay? But a lot wrong with it for the way it impacts regular working class people.
Here's what's wrong with it. The system's rigged. When they say an inflation trade, they're going to be doing smart trades in assets, right? To your detriment. This whole Larry Fink thing in BlackRock, or the blinding of the housing stock, that's an inflation trade,
right.
where the deplorables are going to finance it like they always do.
Yep.
And like Steve Cortez says, when they get in trouble, the big guys, you are going to bail them out. Short commercial break. We're going to talk about the ape army and the march towards the heart of Wall Street and more with Steve Cortez when we return.
Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, starting on Friday, we're kicking off Father's Day weekend. We're going to start this whole masculinity in America. We've got a special on Saturday. It's going to be blockbuster. I'm going to get the graphic up later. Steve Cortez is going to be part of that. I want all of my staff to watch it and memorize it, okay? We need more masculinity in the War Room, right? On my production staff, okay? And people know what I'm talking about here is we're having many meltdowns every time we go to commercial break. Kyle Bass, the great Kyle Bass, brother Cortez, is saying inflation. He's just out in Seeking Alpha, another site people should go to. In Seeking Alpha, Kyle Bass is interviewed saying inflation is, I hear Cortez, but inflation is actually 12%.
Sure.
How do you think he gets to that?
No, listen, I don't doubt that we could end up there, because if you look at the slope of inflation, right, that is accelerating, we could easily get into double-digit inflation. I'm just saying, based on the looking at the past 4 months on core inflation, we're at a 6% trajectory right now. But given the shape of the slope, that absolutely probably will only
accelerate. Okay, let's get, if Denver could put up the chart, if we can get the chart,
tell me about this chart. This is a poll by Trafalgar and showing that not only to Steve Cortez and Jamie Dimon and Paul Tudor Jones, not only do we think that this is due to Biden's policies, but the American people smartly recognize that the Biden inflation spike is indeed the fault of Joe Biden. And by the way, Trafalgar, the best polling organization out there, if not the best, then certainly one of the best, who has been just nailed it in recent elections. They say 39% of the people directly blame Joe Biden. Another 25% blame the Congress. So taken together, 64%, almost two-thirds of Americans correctly assign blame to Biden and the Congress. Only 17% of the American people blame President Trump. And that's probably just the hardcore Never Trumpers who want to blame him for the sun coming up in the morning. So the people are smart. They know what's happening in their lives. They know that you're paying more every time you fill up your tank, every time you go to the grocery store. And again, this didn't just happen. It's not bad luck. It's policy.
It's not just bad luck. This is not the second law of thermodynamics. This is not some physical part of the universe that has to happen. I want to step back and I want to explain this very quickly. The and all the libertarians and many of the guys in conservative bank are saying, oh, Bannon's crazy. This is all free markets. No, it's just like you talk about free trade. China is a mercantilist system. We were getting game. The system got game. That's why we lost 7 million manufacturing jobs. Okay, right. The system is game. The system's game here. The greatest progressive president in American history, Barack Obama, had the greatest concentration of wealth because of his policy, not the debacle of Bush and these guys that got him there. But their solution was just to load up the Fed's balance sheet and increase assets. The top 1% made more concentration of wealth in the Obama years than ever. Now we've got Biden, and they're here with all these massive spending, destroying the dollar. But also, when the billionaires get outed, what is Merrick Garland's number one thing? Merrick Garland's not on the border saying we got to get to the bottom of the invasion of the border. Merrick Garland comes out and says, hey, our number one thing is we're going to investigate to find out who leaked the tax records of the 24 top billionaires, who happen to be all progressive Democrats.
Right.
They're all woke capital, and their philanthropy arms are the most woke capital. And Merrick Garland, of these progressives, they're not progressives at all.
Right.
Right. They don't care about the little guy. And the Ape Army, I understand 80% of you guys are left wingers. Hey, fine. We love you guys. But the scales have to come off the eyes. You said the American people are smart. They are smart and have great common sense, but now we have to make sure they have the information to act. When we say inflation trade is like saying gain of function. Gain of function is weaponization, okay, of a virus. Inflation trade is the rigged system that they're going to use your pension fund money, right, your money, right, and they're going to make a trade that they cream off the best trade, right, and you guys are going to end up paying for it. Right? You're going to end up paying for it. The Larry Fink thing at BlackRock is the most egregious, where they're going to buy the housing stock, rent it back to you, so you're making the mortgage payments. They're getting all the juice, whereas 80% of the net worth of the American people is in their house, in the equity in their house. That ain't going to happen anymore. And this is why this young generation, you're Russian serfs. You're not going to own anything. Zero interest rates. You have no capital accumulation. You don't own anything, and you're not going to own anything. You are better educated. You're in better shape. You have more access to information, right? You're probably, you know, you have more connectivity, but you're nothing more than a Russian serf. You don't own anything, and you're not going to own anything. And that's the rigged nature of the system. And that's why I want to go to the Ape Army. The Ape Army, this is the guys that are grinding through these meme stocks. And Charlie Gasparini every day is that these guys are off of the destroying capitalism. No. They're going to the heart of the incompetence and corruption of Wall Street. I want to go back. Sure. Let's not talk about AMC, which is the day the Ape Arm is all over. But GameStop, you've been a trader on Wall Street and successful. And this guy's as smart as they come. His reports out every morning are just brilliant. You actually got into GameStop stock a year or so ago, and Tell me about your situation when you tried to actually buy the stock.
So talk about a rigged game that protects institutional interests and works against the interests of regular citizens and regular investors in this case. When the GameStop situation was first unfolding, the furor over GameStop and some of these other meme stocks, millions of people probably, at least thousands of people certainly had this same experience that I did, went onto my account and realized this. The online brokers were literally preventing you from buying the stock. Now, it's one thing to put restrictions on selling, particularly on short selling, but you could not buy the stock even if you had the cash in the account. I literally was trying to buy GameStop.
Hold it. Not margin.
Not on margin.
Cash money.
Not on margin.
Cash money.
Cash on the barrel.
Cash money you had in the account.
In the account. Press buy, comes back, denied. You literally could not buy the stock. Why? Because the brokers were protecting Wall Street hedge funds who were short and who were absolutely getting hosed at that point by a populist investor revolt, which is ongoing and is morphing and now largely referred to as the ape army.
Hang on a second. And this is important. If you don't own a stock in this audience, this is important to your life. In your history of trading, had you ever been restricted at any time?
Never.
Making tens of thousands of trades a year over your life, had you ever been restricted from buying a stock when you had cash money?
Never. Never. I mean, it's an impossibility. I can't imagine it's ever happened, period. Not just, you know, to me, but to anyone. But it shows you the lengths to which, unfortunately, these institutions will go in a rigged game because the brokers rely on the hedge funds for the lion's share of their income.
It's not unfortunately. We've got to remember, the logic of the markets is that it's a casino. And it's a rigged casino where the house wins always and the house's friends win. Okay? That's what Wall Street's turned into, is a rigged casino. That's the same problem we had in 2008. Remember, of the 200 criminal referrals, I think, that were sent over to Eric Holder from the Angelides committees, all these investigations. We've had investigations before. In 2008, I think we had three or four either congressional or independent investigations. 200 criminal referrals sent to the Justice Department. Not one Wall Street banker, right. Not one Wall Street hedge fund guy, not one guy in back of this ever went to jail. And particularly the African-American community was wiped out of all their equity.
Yes.
And all those houses. Hey, they came in and foreclosed on you in a New York second. They're going to hold you criminally responsible if you had a shotgun out front and said, you ain't taking my house. Oh, no. Then you're the villain, right? Not one Wall Street guy. They got a couple of guys in Nevada and some other guys that were appraisers. They were the bad guys. Let's send the Grundoons to prison, right?
And, Steve, a lot of working-class people, including African-American citizens of the United States, they still have not recovered from
Never.
That wipeout of housing data. You mentioned the Obama administration and the exacerbation of inequality, that black households lost 30% of their net worth while Obama was president.
This is another scam. They're on MSNBC every night, and they're talking about the disparity in the net worth of the African-American community and the white community and others. Part of it goes back to the core. The system was rigged when they wiped out their equity, right? When they wiped out their equity, they never recovered. We've got to unrig the system. That's why in this populist revolt, whether you see it, they're taking the ship today in Nashville on the Southern Baptist Convention, right? They're throwing out the cultural Marxists. They're throwing out the LGBT thing they think's gotten out of control. They're throwing those guys out. On Wall Street, you have this ape army that's marching. They're not going to stop. Their thing is buy and hold. Boy, that's so un-American. Buy and hold, right? And they got the whole world saying, no, you got to sell. You're idiots. You're the dumb money. You got to sell. The guys trying to sell are the paid shills of the infinite losses that are going to go on these hedge funds, right?
Right.
Particularly, was it Citadel and a couple others, backs are up against the wall. They understand if they can't have a forcing function to force the apes to sell, they're going to implode some of the biggest hedge funds. And then, to me, the criminal charges start to come out. How did Citadel and these guys start to bet against companies, 140% of these companies on naked shorts, with the deplorables' money? Remember, here's the tragedy of it. On the other side of the trade from the ape army, the populace, and we had that great, we were trying to get that Marine on we had yesterday on the tape on tonight's show, who's just, hey, 30% of the ape army are veterans, right? On the other side of the trade happens to be the pension funds of the deplorables managed by a bunch of freebooters who have just decided to do it. Now, before we go, we got 2 minutes. I've got to go. We got Jason Jones later in the show. We're going to go to the Basilica. But you're telling me, hey, Bannon, you're missing the point. What's the anniversary? I'm going to show Cortez's true right-wing credentials
show
right now.
Show my range here. Yes. Well, I was mentioning to you that it's a really important Catholic anniversary today. Today in 1846, the papal conclave at the Vatican elected Pius IX, the longest-serving pope in all of church history, and in my view, the greatest pope in all of church history. He wrote the Syllabus of Errors, which was really just an epic rant. If you hadn't read it, you should. It is an attack on modernity, on relativism. He was known as Pio Nono by his Italian moniker. Just an incredible man, an absolute giant of the faith of the church, and somebody who remains really relevant today as we face down the forces of aggressive secular humanism in America.
First
society.
Off, up until the Second Vatican Council, they made the clergy take the oath against modernity. Mm-hmm. This pope was so smart. He forecasted the debacle of the 20th century, which is still going to be looked at as one of the great dark ages. 250 million people murdered in wars and famines and prosecutions by, guess what, cultural Marxism. The rise, what lost in the trenches of World War II, the basic Victorian values of the Judeo-Christian West, and these monsters that came out of it, Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong, Stalin, all of it came out of that. He predicted, he basically said, hey, these modern virtues, right, modernity and all this stuff related to it are going to drive you to this point. Absolutely brilliant. Cortez, you have amazing range.
Let's hope.
You have amazing range. Okay, tonight, 9 o'clock, Cortez and Pellegrino. The show is on fire. You can't miss it. Your Chalk Talks, don't ever stop them. They're absolutely brilliant.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, how do they get to you quickly on social media?
At Cortez Steve, Cortez with an S, at Twitter.
You may get kicked off of Twitter after your modernity rant today. We never know. Okay, Jack Dorsey, those guys don't like it. Short commercial break. Darren Beatty in. What happened on the 6th, and what did the government know about it next in the war room? I want to bring in now, we're going to have a big cold open on this, but it's so important to get to what he has to say. I just want to bring him on. Darren Beatty. Okay. I want to position this, Darren. Just give me a second. This audience is changing the arc of history, and here's how it's happening. We said we're not going to go forward, and we're not going to have any happy talk about new things. We're going to get to the bottom of 3 November, the 3 November move. We're going to get to the bottom of that. And now it went from people laughing in your face to now you got full forensic audits with explosive results coming out of Arizona. You're going to have one in Georgia. You're going to go all throughout the nation to get to the bottom of the legitimacy of Joe Biden, okay? So Joe Biden, the guy, you know, Gary Cooper over there at the big showdown in Geneva, it's all a joke. The showdown today is the Federal Reserve. Then we said Wuhan lab. We said this from the very front. To get to the bottom of what happened in Wuhan, who's responsible, who's accountable, what actually happened, and how lethal it is, how what else they got cooking up over there, you can't go for it. November 3rd, Wuhan. You've changed your arc of history. Biden administration finally said, yes, yeah, we got to investigate. IG investigation of Tony Fauci and the guys. There's a third one I want to add here, ladies and gentlemen, right? Because the border, we don't need to get to, but we know what's happening to the border. We got to stop that. These other things are out there. We got to stop. It's critical race theory. We don't need to get to the bottom. We got to stop that. 1619 Project, got to be stopped. Border invasion, stop. We got to stop that. And you got an army of people working on it now, okay? We're taking the villages over village by village. But we got to get to another one. And this is why I wanted a commission. And the people that didn't want a commission, I think were wrong. Number one, I say it gives us a place to adjudicate what happened on November 3rd. It gets us actually to start to show the receipts in a formal process to back them up against the wall. They're big steal, right? In addition, and this is where Beatty and the guys' revolver are amazing, we got to get to the bottom of January 6th. What did the government know? When did they know it? What was their participation? The different agencies' participation and informants, operatives, whatever you want to call them, inside that group. We need to get to the bottom of all of it. And Darren Beatty and the guys' revolver all over this. Beatty, take the floor. You were great on Tucker last night. You're going to have more time to develop your thesis this morning. So go ahead. Take it.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me. And look, I think you're absolutely right in the way that you frame it. It's three big lies, each nested in the previous one. The biggest lie is the lie about COVID. We need to know what really went on with COVID. Where did it come from? And perhaps even more importantly, where did all these decisions come from about the lockdowns? Who's responsible and why? So there's the COVID lie and the COVID narrative. Then there's the lie about the election, which is associated with the COVID lie because they used the false COVID narrative as a pretext to create the circumstances in, under which they were able to steal the election. And there's a third lie, and this is associated with a development that we've been covering on Revolver.News extensively, and that is the political weaponization of our national security apparatus against Trump supporters, and January 6th as a pretext to accelerate that into its next phase. Now, this investigative piece that you mentioned on Revolver.News, it's blowing up. It's already changing the way the country understands what 1-6 was and what questions to ask about 1-6. And I'm so glad I'm on your show, because I really do think that your audience is the only audience in this country capable of elevating this story to where it needs to be. This needs to be the biggest story in the country right now. As disturbing as it is, as dark as it is, the American people deserve to know the truth about 1-6. Because let me emphasize, the truth about 1-6, it's not just on behalf of Ashley Babbitt, who was shot in cold blood and killed by an officer. It's not just for those hundreds of people rotting away under atrocious conditions, violation of human rights in the United States of America in prisons for being political protesters. It's even bigger than that. It's about all of us. It's about the 70 plus million people or Trump supporters who are being labeled as de facto domestic terrorists by our own government, by elements within our own government, and using the pretext of 1-6 in order to advance that narrative. So what's the truth about 1-6? Well, I think the key to unlocking the truth about 1-6 is not any discussion about Antifa. It's not any of these side discussions. It's very, very simple. The question that unlocks this is this. Was 1-6 the result of an intelligence failure, which is the official story now? That's why they just couldn't stop the violence. Or was 1-6 the result of an intelligence setup? Or formulated differently, a counterintelligence success? And this question can be formed precisely as the following. To what extent the FBI, Army Counterintelligence, Joint Terrorism Task Force, any of these associated counterintelligence agencies, to what extent did they infiltrate the big three militia groups most closely associated with 1-6? Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters. Further, to what extent, when you look at the unindicted co-conspirators in the January 6th case, how many, if any, are unindicted on account of a prior relationship with the federal government, either as an informant or an undercover operative? Because if there was substantial infiltration of these groups, that would have meant that the government knew that there was potential for chaos and they did nothing to stop it. Whereas just months earlier, they thwarted this so-called kidnapping plot in Michigan. So if they knew, why didn't they thwart this? Why did they sit back and let it happen? And perhaps more disturbingly, if these co-conspirators are in fact informants or undercover agents, if any of them are, these are the senior people in these militia groups, then it looks even worse. It looks like a giant entrapment scheme by the federal government itself. And so I think the narrative
hang on one second. Let's make sure, because I don't want to get to the entrapment at all. That's all. That's like, how do you decertify the electors after you get to the receipts? Let's do one step. One thing about this audience has been great, and I'm so proud of the show. We're going to take it one step at a time, and because we got to prove it one step at a time. Go back, hit the rewind. Talk about Michigan. Why is Michigan stood out there as so unusual when you had these informants and you had thing and it was thwarted and they made such a big deal about it? So you're telling me they got to Michigan with these guys up living in their mother's basement, and they were able to infiltrate that. But on 1-6, they sitting there going, oh, you almost took over the Capitol, right, and went after Nancy Pelosi, but they didn't. It's all crickets on that. Is that what you're saying you're supposed to believe, that Michigan is a symbolic of what happened here, sir?
it's not simply symbolic. I'm going to lay out a fact pattern that I think is going to shock much of your audience. It's in the public domain, but the fact that the Michigan case hasn't, until this bombshell revolver.news investigation that's up on the site right now, pinned on the top, revolver.news, until this bombshell report came out, no one even thought to reference Michigan in relation to 1-6. But why is Michigan important? Here's why Michigan is important. Now, we could go through all the way back to the days of J. Edgar Hoover and show you case by case how this is absolutely how the government operates. Unfortunately, people don't understand how dark this government actually is, many elements of it, going all the way back to J. Edgar Hoover, a lot of Muslims in 9/11, First World Trade Center bombing. All of these cases involve very questionable activities on the part of undercover agents. But we don't need to go back that far. We only need to go back 3 months before the so-called storming of the Capitol to this so-called kidnapping plot, which also involved a plan to storm the Michigan State Capitol. So you had a plan to storm the Michigan State Capitol. You had one of the three main militia groups involved in Michigan as well, the three percenters, the alleged mastermind of the Michigan storming the Capitol slash kidnapping plot. It's a guy named Adam Fox, who the FBI says is a national leader of the three percenters. So it's the same militia group, a same plan to storm the state capitol, and yet in the Michigan case, out of the 18 plotters, at least five are now known to be either informants or undercover operatives. Five out of 18, that's a remarkable percentage of infiltration. This happened just months before. And as a cherry on top, the field, the head of the Detroit field office of the FBI, who oversaw that infiltration operation of the Michigan state capitol storming slash kidnapping plot, his name is Stephen D'Antuono, just days after they arrested these alleged Michigan plotters, Christopher Wray quietly and mysteriously promoted him to the top post in the DC field office, where he went on to oversee the investigation into 1-6. Now, that is incredibly suspicious fact pattern as
I just want to make sure there's no conspiracy, but there's also no coincidences, right, sir? That's pretty.
It's
pretty
a hell of a coincidence, right there. Yeah, it's a hell of a coincidence.
Keep going, sir.
Yes. So look, I want to be very precise with this. I'm not even saying this Michigan fact pattern proves anything in relation to 1-6. But if one approaches the 1-6 question with an attitude that our government just doesn't do things like that, or in the words of Paul Ryan, that's just not who we are, I'm sorry to break it to you, but it absolutely is. And like I said, you don't need to go all the way back to J. Edgar Hoover. This was just months before a plot to storm the state capital of Michigan involving one of the three main militia groups associated with 1-6, where with the same FBI field agent who was promoted after this, after his infiltration operation. I think just knowing that helps to really drive home the pressing plausibility of this most disturbing question that we're raising is, what the hell happened in 1-6? Was there a similar infiltration operation? And when you look individually at the cases of these unindicted co-conspirators, there are huge red flags there that press this question even further.
We're going to take a short commercial break. Darren, if you please stay over, I want to bring you back. We're also going to have Raina Jackson. We got Mike Lindell. We got Sidney Powell, Jason Jones. It's nothing but heavyweights today. Okay, heavyweight lineup. Short commercial break. We're going to get it all in. Don't know how we're going to do that, but somehow we will do it. Short commercial break. We'll return in the war room in just a moment. But the games you want to play. Bring it on and I will fight to the end. Just watch and see. It's all started. Everything's begun. And you are over. Because we're taking down the CCP. Spread the word all through Hong Kong. We will fight till they're all gone. Rejoice when there's no more. Let's take down the CCP. Darren from Revolver Not News, you are becoming an icon in this movement because you're relentless. And Revolver, you're relentless. You guys get down to it, and this is why people are saying, wow, who are these guys? You got more breaking news for us right now?
Yes, I got big, big breaking news. First of all, I want to acknowledge the great Congressman Paul Gosar, who entered this bombshell Revolver.news story into the official record asking for answers. And breaking news here, the great Congressman Matt Gaetz has drafted a letter to the FBI director asking the very questions that I just raised and were raised in this Revolver.news report. In essence, what did they know? When did they know it? Was there infiltration? Was there entrapment? Demanding answers related to that. So I need your audience to do two things. One is I need them to demand that their congressman join on to this letter, getting answers from the FBI director, Christopher Wray. And secondly, as I mentioned earlier, I truly believe your audience, Steve, at War Room, your audience is the only audience of any show in America that can elevate this bombshell Revolver.news story to this place that it needs to be in order for the American people to have the truth. This is becoming the biggest story in the country. And so I'm asking all of your listeners, everyone who cares about Ashley Babbitt, who cares about the prisoners being held, who cares about all of us who are being framed as domestic terrorists on this false pretense, who care about the truth and who care about this country, go to Revolver.news, read this story, and share it with everyone.
Okay, we're going to put it in the live chat. I need everybody. It's a force multiplier. You did this on 3 November. You've done this on Wuhan. This is the third leg of the stool. You've got to do this. We're kicking it off today. The great Tucker Carlson gave the preamble last night. Now this action, action, action. We're putting this in there. Number one, we're going to get the Gaetz letter. We need you to demand your congressman sign this letter, be a co-signatory of this. You need to demand it. Also, we're going to put the Revolver news up, which is going to be more breaking news. You've got to. Read it, understand it. We'll have Beatty back on. We'll be answering questions. You've got to be a force multiplier. Get it out there and get it into the conversation. When you're texting your neighbors, when you're talking to your friends, when you're talking to your colleagues, make this now part of the conversation like you've made 3 November and like you've made the Wuhan lab. This is the way. This is called building and driving narrative. Yes, Media Matters, this is how we do it, okay? Beatty, you're a hero. How do people get to you on your social media and how they get to the site?
Revolver.news as always, and on Twitter at Darren J. Beatty, DarrenJBeattie. Much more to come on this. We're just getting started.
Short commercial break. We have Mike Lindell, we got Sidney Powell, we got Jason Jones. The show's even going to get hotter in the second hour, and it's already white hot in the first. Be back in the War Room in a moment.